You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Okay, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, the weather's changing, and we are enjoying the cooler temperatures. And we had a bit of rain, too, on the roof. Started leaking in one place, so had to work on that. Not myself. I've got this thing about heights. I've mentioned this to you. I can easily take off tiles or whatever they are, but I get a problem when I get up high. Things just start going like this. So we got someone to put them on, and he arrived a little bit late, just in time for him to see before the sun went down and got the job done. So we're happy, because the next rain we'd have some problems. We didn't get it fixed. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for all that thou hast done for us in this life. Thank thee for the race that's set before us. And we ask that we'd put every weight that would pull us down, that would easily beset us, put it down, and so we can run the race before us effectively. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're on this part 8, which means we're looking at chapter 7, and last time we looked at the Proverbs 6, which has some really interesting things in it about appropriately using your time and being misled by hands that are idle. Interesting, Paul says, man does not work, neither should he eat. It's an interesting statement, isn't it, really? And it's something I think is very true for us to consider, that many people who get into, perhaps, maybe it happens that originally they lose their job and it's not their fault, you know, originally. It may be completely not their fault they lose their job. But then as time goes by, they give way to their depression that comes in. I mean, I know what it's like not to have a job. When I first got here, I was basically a taxi man that kept me busy. But after a while, man, I wanted a job. I needed to have a job, you know, and as a man, I recognize that. And for people who perhaps don't get to find a job, they can fall into various activities that are not productive and temptations that will come their way, and finally succumb to all sorts of things. And so we've got to be active about this. And we looked at this at chapter 6, 12 to 14, where you get these interesting verbs. Walketh, winketh, speaketh, teacheth, deviseth, soweth. Really prominent. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But right there is this expression, frowardness is in his heart. And you see, the problem is that once the heart gets deceived like this and goes down the wrong path, many, many unfortunate, unsavory fruits come about. And we looked about how important the Torah is. And the word Torah is not just used concerning the law of Moses, but it's also used of the commandment given, for example, from the mother. The mother who gives Torah, gives law, and there's some important instruction that comes there, and not to heed those is to be deceived. So today what we're looking at is chapter 7, and in chapter 7, when I read chapter 7, and I've done so many times, it's just straight. The message here is straight. It should not be taken out of its context. It should not be just made into a story which is kind of like parabolic. It's really a straight teaching about the deceptiveness of the strange woman, and how in this case a man who is known here as the good man. It doesn't mean that this man is good. It just means that this man is the master of his household. And it's all about this man who leaves his household with his money to do some business somewhere. And obviously that means he's going to be away from home for a while. And the lady of the household turns out to be the strange woman. And she gets involved with all sorts of activities. And this is what this chapter is about. Now, I believe that's exactly what it's about. I don't believe it's about some sort of nice parable. It's just a straight, clear teaching, which in this day and age I think we need to hear. But in chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, you get this interesting call of Lady Wisdom. And verse 1, it says, "My son, keep my words." So this is the teacher addressing his pupil. "Keep my words, my son." This is the wise man addressing his student. "And lay up my commandments with thee." So there come some important commandments that have been given and are part of the wisdom of the guided and instructed and established wisdom that has been passed down. "Keep my commandments and live." Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? "Keep my commandments and live." Now, if you look at some of these passages, if you go back, let's just show you something. In the book of Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus 18, so if you find chapter 18 of Leviticus, and let's see what about the verse. We'll get the verse shortly. Okay, so in Leviticus 18 and verse 5, it says this. Well, we can read from the beginning. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," verse 1, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do? And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do? Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances." Big separation, right? From these pagan societies. You shall do my judgment and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. If a man do, he shall live in them. Now, what are we going to do with this? If you look what Bullinger says in his companion Bible, you'll notice he says about this that he means live in resurrection. Life meaning in resurrection. If you do these things, then you shall live. Life you get. Now, this is an interesting thing, right? I find this fascinating. Live. Now, if you look at the subject of life, eternal, we know from what Paul teaches us, and he's very clear on this, right, that a person will be given life as a gift, right? And it's by grace, you say, through faith. You trust on the finished work of Christ, and you're given the gift. And in Romans 4, he talks about this and elaborates it with the example of Abram, that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, right? That's what it says. And that applies to Genesis 15. And then what you find is later on, you see that he perfects his faith with works. And what does he get? He gets fantastic reward. So there is certainly the whole business of rewards, which is where you take your primitive faith. So here's the faith, the primitive faith of believing, apart from works. You trust Christ, and you're given life as a gift, and then there are rewards. This is the fullness of life. Peter talks about this as the salvation of your soul, because the soul has to do with all aspects of life. So there's rewards. And then James, what does he do? He says, see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Right? That's what James says. And so what's going on here? You've basically then, you've got two justifications. One is where you trust the Lord. You just have this primitive faith. You believe on Jesus Christ, and you're given this great gift of eternal life. And then what you're supposed to do with that is you are supposed to perfect it. You're supposed to perfect that faith with works, and so you get a fuller life through rewards. So evidently what's being mentioned here has the teaching of life in all its fullness, right? The resurrected life in all its fullness, where it says here, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. What's that about? That's the pupil, the apple, the pupil of your eye. When I was a kid, I used to try and look into my eye by looking into the mirror, you know, and I try to look right into, you know, I just as a kid being kind of ignorant about life, what's going on, you know. What am I looking at? And, you know, can I see into my brain there? Or what? All this kind of weird stuff. I used to do other things with mirrors. You know, you look in a mirror and you pull a mirror behind you. And then, have you done this? And then what you see is just the limit. A limiting thing where all of these mirrors are appearing before you. Out there into infinity. Have you ever seen that? I mean, and pondered that, what's going on there. It's a really amazing thing. But here, and it says, and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Man, that's right there. Bind them upon thy fingers. You put your hands right there on your fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. We saw how, with all those interesting indicative verbs there, you saw right down near the end, it talks about the heart and how important it is to keep the law in your heart. And you might think, well, what does that mean for us? What does it mean to keep the law in your heart? Well, the law of Messiah, as has been given to us by our apostle. The apostle Paul has given to us the law of Messiah. And we've got it, man. I mean, just take a quick look at it with me. I'll just show you how definite this is. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that this is true. If you look at the structure of Ephesians, the first three chapters, talk all about the wonderful truth of the doctrine of the revelation of the mystery. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, you get this deportment, the practical teaching. Verse 1 of chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And see that vocation? It's the calling. It's the calling wherewith ye are called, with all lowness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And it goes on through and gives you all this in chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. See? All of this. And it goes on, talks a lot about the having no fellowship, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Right? Very active and down-to-earth instruction. This is the law of Messiah coming to us from our inspired apostle. Do we have a law to worry about? Sure we do. We're not lawless in that sense, are we? We're not lawless. We've been given the law of Messiah. Why is the word Christ going over and over and over in these epistles? Because Christ means Messiah. And the Messiah is giving us instruction. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Obey. Obey. You see, coming back to the same lady, Chokmah. And the instruction you find in Proverbs, the commandment of the mother, is here too. Right? It's there. It's a really important lesson, I think. And as you go down further, it says this in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Wow. Why? Because you're a soldier, man, and you're involved with a fight, and you're not just going to be cowering under a shield. Yeah, the shield is important. It's part of the armor. I'm not putting the shield down. It's absolutely necessary. But you've also got an offensive weapon, and it's the sword, man, and that's how you're going to make progress. You know, you're going to make progress. You're going to pull that sword out, man, and off you go. Cutting. Going back to chapter 7 of Proverbs. So what I'm saying is, when we read about these things, it's not as if this has no application to us. First of all, there's the immediate application. We see these things happening in our society. And in our society today, immorality is not immorality anymore. In this, our society, it really doesn't matter. That's your choice. It's your free choice. You want to do that? That's fine. That's your... no problem at all. Why, we're getting to the point now where we're having some people trying to say that to molest children is quite all right. That's quite all right, man. You get all sorts of stuff going on in this society as it gets further and further away from the God of the Scriptures. And it says this in verse 4, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister." Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. "And call understanding thy kinswoman." Now the word kinswoman is interesting because this is only used another time, but this time it's not in reference to a female, but to a male, to Boaz. And Boaz is a very interesting character. Very interesting, because you see there some typology with Jesus Christ. Very strong. Very strong in there. And it says this in verse 5, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman." Now here it comes. So you get wisdom's call, right? Very strong call. Good relationship. "Thou art my sister." "And call understanding thy kinswoman." What happened to Israel? Well, they had a lack of knowledge. You have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Right? That's what Paul says to the Romans. And it says, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Now, as I say, this is a particular woman, as we'll learn later on. It's not just any old woman. She has a position in society. She has been provided for. And she has a husband. But there's something about this which is interesting. Because in verse 5 it says, "keep thee from the strange woman." That is, you're supposed to get this wisdom, call a sister, understanding, thy kinswoman. "That they may keep thee from the strange woman." This is the apostate. What is an apostate? It's not someone that falls from the faith and becomes an unbeliever. No. This is someone that falls from the faith and takes on the religion of someone else, of something else. Then it goes on, "from the stranger which flattereth with her work." Now this is the alien. So you've got two women in one here. You've got the first one is the apostate, who falls from the true faith and takes up the faith of some other god. And then you've got the stranger, which naturally will come with her faith and strange gods. And it says, "from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Again, words are the way through this. The way that's most impactful will be the use of words. And boy, isn't that true of false doctrine too? False doctrine, man, it comes thick and fast with flattering words. Words that we want to hear. What do you want? We can make it a reality, man. We'll just mold and wield these scriptures and turn them into anything you want. For at the window of my house. Now, here is the person, right? For at the window of my house I look through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones. So here is the wise person looking out and making experimental observation what's going on in this world, man. And you're supposed to learn, my son, keep my words. Keep them. Guard them. Well, those base things, man, they get you, don't they? And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths. Okay, so he's looking through this window, and down there, look, there's all these simpletons. Right? One of these ones who are simple in mind, easily hoodwinked. I discerned among the youths a young man void, empty of understanding. Now, you know what, one of the problems we have, this is just true, this is just the way it is, that the young people, as they go through life, you can put them into a good school, they can be surrounded by the scriptures, they can come under good instruction, but unfortunately, they can just not be there. They can go somewhere else. They can be in a good church, good fellowship where the Word of God is taught and preached. Unfortunately, some of them simply do not listen. They do not listen. And they're going to have to learn the hard way, man. It's just the way it is. And we can try and shock them out of it. And one of the things in my life really shocked me was I got confronted with someone who had made the mistakes in life. I mean, made them, man. And, you know, sometimes you need this kind of thing. You need some kind of shocking treatment where someone who's like you but made the mistakes and then is suffering the consequences of those mistakes and comes out and says, this is what I did. Now look at me. And that affected me. I tell you, I took note as a young man. Sometimes you need that, right? You need that kind of straightforward stuff. A young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. The corner. There it is. And he went the way of her house in the twilight, in the evening. Now, notice this. I notice the structure of the language here. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. There's a progression there, isn't there? There's a progression going towards the dark. It's obviously there. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire and harlot and subtle of heart. Now, it's starting to get evening. This is where it happened. But the garments that she wore said something about her job and what she's there to do. It's a weird thing for me to see what happens in our society as the society moves away from the scripture. You notice that the way people dress, the way they tattoo their body, the things they portray and say and do, it portrays this. It's a move towards the darkness. It's a move towards harlotry in one form or another. Spiritual harlotry. We know, for example, Israel was called the harlot because she went out and played the harlot under every green tree, meaning she got involved with all of this idolatry. Do you know that's exactly what Solomon did? Solomon did that. Oh, man. And you know what was the root cause of it? Was because his heart was moved towards the strange woman. And that's what he did. He filled his courts with strange women, and they brought with them these other gods and so on. And sooner or later, he's building idols to Milcom. Can you believe that? That he would do that? That's how far you can go. And you know that the Lord came to him. He spoke to him two times in a real voice, at least in his dreams, God came to Solomon, and Solomon recognized it was God speaking to him. He knew it. One time when he was, you know, thanking and asking God for wisdom, God comes to him in that way. Another time, building the temple, God comes to him in that way. He makes his presence known to Solomon, and Solomon knows it's God. Yet in the face of all that understanding, he goes against his God. It's a warning, isn't it? It's a warning for us. There's practical warnings here. Yes, that's the first teaching. I don't suppose to put on this any other teaching than what you just read here. But I'm just pointing out there are parallels as well. There are certain parallels. Now is she without? Now in the streets. Now. She's moving around with a purpose. There's a purpose in mind going on here. And lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, strong face, hard face, purpose. She's of purpose. This is no accident. Oh, this is just someone coming by. No, this is planned. This is a planned meeting, man. I have, now look at this. Look at verse 14. This just is amazing to me, man. This is amazing. I have peace offerings with me. Has this person left any faith in a God? No. This is either the alien coming without with her gods, or it is the apostate who's moved to another God. But look at her. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Normally, what happens is you make a vow, and then when God comes through with it, you give back to God in thanks. But she's paid up ahead. She's paid up ahead, man. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. Well, you can see this scene, man. You can see this thing happening. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Well, this is the, what we have termed for these kind of things that go on today. It's been here since man has been on this earth as a fallen creature. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Yeah, it's a vain imagination, isn't it? Because, as we say, the chickens come home to roost. Right, that's a saying that we have right around the world. The Western world uses this one. The chickens come home to roost. We used to have chickens around our place in New Zealand. My dad used to enjoy the eggs, the fresh eggs, and we'd find nests all over the place. There's no organization to these chickens. They're just wherever they go, man. And they'd lay eggs everywhere. And, of course, they'd breed. And so what happens is, sooner or later, we get chickens everywhere. And they're just everywhere. And my dad would say, that's it! And roll up the garage door and put in there some seed. And they all come going in there. Pull down the roller door. And it's chop, chop, man. Oh man, I've got some memories of these things. Okay, chickens come home to roost, right? Okay, and it says as this. Let me just read this to you because I think this is interesting. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Yeah, it's a solace, all right, but it's not going to end up giving you the fullness of life. It's going to come with a penalty. For the good man is not at home. Oh, the good man's not at home. Yeah, the master of the house is gone, so we can get up to our mischief. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him. What does that mean? Well, he's serious about his work. That means he's going to be away for a while. He's got business. So while he's away, the cat will play, right? We've got all these sayings. I'm sure these sayings mostly come from the scriptures. Drop in the bucket. And all these kind of things. And will come home at the day appointed. Yeah. So that's not now. With her much fierce speech, she caused him to yield. With flattering of her lips, she forced him. Isn't that interesting? That word force is used of rape. And here, it's the other way round, right? It's usually in rape we think of man raping some woman. But here, the language is the opposite way round. Interesting. This art is going on. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Notice the language the Lord uses here through the inspiration. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. People without understanding, simpletons, end up here on the stocks. Till a dart striketh through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare. Yeah, the bird doesn't know what it's getting into. All it sees is some food past that snare and just flies right into it, and knoweth not that it's for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. This is the wise man. This comes to us in the spirit of Lady Kokma, that we should take to our sides as our sister, as our kinswoman, close friend, you see, close friend. That's how we should take wisdom. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Examples, Solomon, David, right? Her house is the way to hell, that's the death, in the grave, going down to the chambers of death. Wow. Different parts of death there, man. Different parts of the grave for the end result of this. What do we learn? Well, we get a practical first lesson. And that is, man, that you've got to keep the law between your eyes. You need it there, man. And when people are growing up, with all the various temptations that come to us in this day and age, man, you need it there. The internet is a great thing in many ways, but boy, it's also an open sewer. And people who without wisdom will be taken there. They'll be taken to places where they should not visit. They need to run from her, right? They need to not go to that corner, not to set foot near her house. You can see the practical application there. Lots of great applications we can learn from the book of Proverbs. Straight, clear teaching. Is there another parallel to this? Yeah, there's also this business of correct and right doctrine that's healthy for you. And you need to take that. You need to take the scriptures rightly divided. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, Lord, and all that Thou hast given us in this book of Proverbs. All 27 verses, Lord, of chapter 7, we think of the many people who have been deceived, Lord, spiritually, and many physical ways as well, Lord. We ask, Lord, Your Spirit would work even now on all of our children and relatives and friends, Lord, that we would run this race and be productive in our lives. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.